T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
22 degrees, air quality alert, and I think the air particularly foul in the barn today. Illinois thumping Minnesota 92-63. Liam Robbins hobbled by a bad ankle. Gabe Kalscher out with a broken finger for a while. And Illinois demolishing Minnesota at Williams Arena right now. It was close in the first half. Illinois pulled ahead in the last few minutes of that first half, to lead it 48-33, and now they lead it 92-63 with 2:07 to go in the game. And joining us now, former Golden Gopher great and current Fox Sports North Timberwolves analyst, Kevin Lynch. Kev, how you been?
I'm doing well, Steve. I knew the Gophers were playing this afternoon, but I have not watched 1 second of that game because I was catching up on the Australian Open men's semifinals.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're playing down under. It's always hot at Rod Laver Stadium. I know they have the roof now. Give us a quick update on what's going on down under.
Well, let me say this. Is the men's semifinals, Djokovic beat this unknown Russian dude a couple days ago. So Djokovic is in the final, which is being played overnight tonight down in Melbourne, Australia. And then the second semifinals was against Medvedev, the Russian guy, and Tsitsipas, the guy from Greece. And they were playing in the other semifinal, and I just recorded the match because I couldn't watch it because it was a day ago or something. So I intentionally haven't looked at the results because I wanted to watch the match. So I recorded it, and so I'm watching that right now. So
all right, I went to the site, so I won't spoil it for you.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah,
I won't spill the beans.
Yeah,
on the Australian Open.
Otherwise, I'll be very pissed off. So
yeah, we don't want to do that. Yeah. No, Kev. Do you play a lot of tennis? I mean, I know you love the sport.
Yeah.
But do you play a lot?
I actually ever since the pandemic, everything started last winter, and then come the springtime when the weather started. I'm answering your question here. So I played a lot when I was a kid, and because my mom was a tennis coach, and she played herself. And so as much sports and basketball I played as a kid, I actually got into tennis because of my mom and my brothers and my sister. We played too. So when I was a young kid, I played quite a bit, and then basketball took over. And then this last year when the pandemic kind of started, I started up playing tennis again, especially when the weather was nice. So, yes, I do play a lot now.
Yeah, and I bet that plays into that multi-sport athlete, that there is a lot in tennis that would translate to the basketball court. What I'm saying is the lateral movement, the footwork, would pay dividends for a basketball player. If they are going to play another sport, tennis would be a good one.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think there's I don't think a lot. You know, it's like it really affected me a lot when I was developing as a kid, but no, there's some similarities. I mean, basketball is such a stop and start, you know, fast and stop, you know, going fast and then stopping, going fast, you know, that stop and start type of sport. And so is tennis. I mean, tennis might be, I mean, maybe along with soccer or something is that same type of thing where you're stopping and starting all the time. More so than, you know, I played football. I grew up playing baseball. I mean, more so than those sports. So tennis, I mean, there's some similarities in that way. As far as, you know, comparing to basketball. So, yeah, When I was a kid, I played a lot, and I had a lot of fun, and I'm a huge, as you know, you and I have talked about it many times, I love watching tennis. I can binge watch tennis way more than I can basketball even.
Yeah, it is a great sport, and at the highest level, you think of the greats, Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal and Serena Williams, brought up Novak Djokovic. I mean, it all-time greats right now at the peak of their powers. And, you know, watching the majors, the Grand Slams, and I know it's been impacted a lot by COVID, but, yeah, all the Grand Slams are very enjoyable and are always on my sports calendar.
Yeah, you know, and maybe I've told you this before. I've actually, when I was in college, I went out to one of my older brothers was living in New York City. So since I grew up a big tennis fan, my brother was living out there at that time. I went to the U.S. Open. So
oh,
I've been
wow.
to the U.S. Open in New York City. And in 2014, one of my other brothers and my sister and my mom went to London, and it's one of the to Wimbledon in the summertime. That's like one of the toughest
cool.
tickets to find in all of sports is Wimbledon, because you know if you go to the U.S. Open in New York, they just have tickets all over the place. But Wimbledon is really kind of, I don't know, exclusive and hard to get tickets. But we actually got tickets, and so we went to that. So my goal is to make it to all four Grand Slams. So I got to get to the French in May, which typically is in May, and then of course the tough one will be Australia because it's so far away and it's in the middle of the winter time here, so it's hard to get away. But I'm going to do it one day, Steve. I'm going to make it there. I think you should come with me too.
Yeah, that's a great bucket list. I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm
let's
in.
Do it.
Paris sounds good to me. I'm not so sure about spending that much time in a plane. I remember when we flew to the Great Alaska Shootout all those years ago, I was like, that's the farthest I've ever been. Now, you played in Europe, so you've been across the pond. But that flight from MSP to Anchorage is the longest flight I've ever been on. And
really?
I just don't know if I could do a flight to Australia. My mom and dad made the trip once, and my dad was like, yeah, it got long. When we landed, I was really ready to get off that plane. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't
know. Yeah, I'd kind of drive. Yeah, plus, you know, but the good thing is, obviously, with those really long flights like that, you get the type of planes where you can watch movies, and if you bring a book, then you can read. And so you got these flights that are, you know, 14 hours long or whatever. But, you gotta grind your way through it, and then once you get to wherever you're going, whether it's Australia or someplace else, then you gotta spend a couple weeks there to make it worth it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a good trip. That is a bucket list. I also want to get to the Masters, but I'm on this waiting list because that's another super tough ticket down in Augusta, Georgia, especially to get in to one of the actual rounds of the tournament. It's easier to get into one of the practice rounds. But I want to be there on a Thursday, a Friday, a Saturday, or ideally a Sunday, which is a super, super tough ticket. And I've been on the waiting list for years, and it's kind of a running joke now. Ah, yeah, I got my reject from the Masters. You know, so I'm hanging in there. Maybe someday, you know, I'll get a badge. But
So let me ask you, how many years have you been on this list? I had no idea it even works like that down there.
Yeah, it's been a while. I've kind of lost track. I'd have to go through my emails, and I save all my emails from the Masters because I just kind of get a kick out of it. They actually sent me an email. And it's kind of like over the years I've sent all my reject letters for jobs that I've applied to in broadcasting. They kind of all go into the same folder, if you will.
Right. Have some fun with it. Why not?
Yeah, why not? Why not have fun with the rejection? Kevin Lynch joining us here on News Talk, 830 WCCO. Kev, you've been around the game a long time. You played at a very high level at the U. You played in the NBA. You played in Europe. You've been covering the Timberwolves for a long time. Last night's game against Toronto really stands out for me. The shooting performance, if you will, in the first half. 18 consecutive missed three-pointers. How is that even possible?
Yeah, it was painful to watch. They were one of 11 in the first quarter, and they scored 15 points in the first quarter of an NBA game. That's I don't know. You know, it's I mean, the Wolves want to play this philosophy of playing small, which to me is going to be a problem, and it is a problem. But But they also want to shoot a lot of threes, you know, which is fine, but you got to have the roster and the players to play that way. You know, you just, there's just too many non-shooters on this team for a team that wants to shoot a lot of threes. It right. just doesn't make sense. So they got, obviously Rubio struggles to make those shots, but go on down the list of Culver, Okogie, Vanderbilt, other guys that are playing a lot of minutes that really can't shoot. So I guess the bottom line is you're going to have nights like this if you're going to want to play that way with this roster. So it's just and they warmed up a little bit in the second half and shot better, but they were in a big hole early for sure.
Yeah, they got back into it, up 79-73, and then kind of went in the tank. Toronto finishes on a 13-2 run, and Alan Horton had this note at the end of the game. Down the stretch, one for their last eight from the field, and four turnovers. But what stood out for me is that, okay, D'Angelo Russell's injured and will be out who knows how long. They said 4 to 6, but we really no timetable for his return in reality. But you have Karl Anthony Towns, and what really surprised me, Kevin, and I don't know if you got into this on Fox Sports North, because I was getting ready to go on the radio and filled in for Henry Lake on Friday night, is you would think they would get Karl Anthony Towns more touches with the game on the line.
Yeah, well, we've this issue has kind of come up a few other games recently, too, of just not getting – I mean, the guy is by far your best offensive player. He's,
right.
to me, your by far their best three-point shooter, even though he's your center. You got to get him the ball, to me, as much as possible. If you're going to try to win some of these games, he's got to have the ball in his hands instead of, I get Anthony Edwards is developing into a, intriguing young kid and a player, and, I mean, he's going to be really good. But, get the ball to Towns as much as possible and get out of his way. Set him up for shots, and, whatever you got to do to get him the ball, you got to do that. So, yeah, for him to not get any shot attempts a couple games ago, I think it was, I don't know if it was the Indiana game or the Laker game, and then for what happened last night as well, it's like, he's not touching the ball enough, especially against a Toronto team that really doesn't have a player that can guard him. So
yeah.
I don't even know how many shots. I think Towns attempted only 13 shots against Toronto last night. I'm looking.
I have the final box right here, Kev.
Yeah.
And, 8 of 13. But with the game on the line, and let's face it, the way they played in the first half, I agree with Alan Horton and his analysis when – in the post game, he said they didn't deserve to win. But they had a lead in the fourth quarter. Toronto's second night of a back-to-back on the road. They're playing not – they don't even have a home arena. They're playing in Tampa this year. They were basically saying, if you guys want to take this game, take this game. And the Timberwolves didn't do it. That's what stood out for me as being super frustrating, is that even as bad as they were in the first half, they still had a chance to get the W.
Yeah, well, on top of that, Kyle Lowry, arguably their best player, didn't even play,
Right.
So there's, it's just, I guess this season, unless something changes drastically, it's going to continue to go like this or something like this. So that's hard to kind of swallow just looking at it that way. I mean, especially with Russell out now, apparently he's your second best player. So I know it's just the frustrations that come with young team, growing team, them focusing on development. Your best player's been out of the lineup most of the season. Your second best player's now out. Looks like he's going to be out for maybe a month and a half. And you just get, this is what you get, man. And it's not fun to go through. And it's a head scratcher at times.
Yeah.
And it's just disappointing.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to bring up. At some point in time, do you just let all these young kids play? And maybe Ricky Rubio is just literally a role player off the bench. And, the few veterans you have, that you just let them go out and play and let all these young guys get, 30, 35 minutes a night and see what happens at this point?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, let's face it, guys like Edwards is going to be a big part of what you're doing in the future, the rookie. Then McDaniels, he's intriguing. I mean, he looks like he's going to turn into a good player, too. So he needs to play. Vanderbilt, same thing. McLaughlin, Nas Reed. Yeah, so there's something to that. I think at some point they got to, and maybe it's already happened or happening right now, is you just kind of let those guys play, let them get them to develop, and that's the route you're going to have to take. I mean, this season is they have the worst record in the NBA right now, folks. That's not an opinion. That's just the facts. So, yeah, I mean, that's maybe something they need to do from here on out.
Yeah, and I think right now it's in vogue to kind of, you know, beat on Ricky Rubio and his game and so on and so forth. But, you know, he's probably miscast at this point in his career. I think they brought him in to be maybe a role player off the bench.
Right.
And it's just been forced to play a lot more minutes. And when someone's being forced to play maybe more minutes than they should, it exposes their shortcomings in greater detail.
Well, you know, plus you start looking at, well, you wonder if Rubio will be here. You know, he's got this year and next year on this contract, and I'd be very surprised unless something changes whether Rubio's here next year, you know, because
yeah, for sure.
He's probably going to be like, well, what am I doing here? You know, it's like this team is they're going young, and I've been in this league for 10 years, and I want to play on a good team that's winning. And so I wouldn't be surprised at some point that kind of, you know, comes up for him and the team. So, and then even look at guys like Jake Layman. I like Jake Layman, but he has not played well, and he's kind of out of the rotation right now. And some of these guys, they might, you know, say, hey, maybe this is not the best fit for me. It's time to move on, you know?
Yeah, and they could fill a role on a veteran team
right.
that's headed for the playoffs, but not on a young team that's trying to figure out what they've got, and that's where the Timberwolves are right now. Well, Kev, always good to visit with you. Tomorrow night, old friend Tom Thibodeau and the New York Knicks.
Yeah, so it'll be fun to hear his voice.
Yeah.
Come on, please, you know, yelling and screaming, and his scratchy voice should be, he's actually, give Thibodeau some credit. The Knicks have been better than a lot of people expected.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they'll do much in the playoffs, if they make the playoffs, but he's done okay with that roster.
Yeah. All right, Kev, take care. Good to visit.
Thanks, Steve. See ya.
All right, there he is, Kevin Lynch, Fox Sports North, Timberwolves analyst, former Golden Gopher, great, played in the NBA, played in Europe, now with Fox Sports North.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.